Well, greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. It has been a tremendous blessing of being here already this morning. And just considering the Word of God and to worship our Lord and Savior in song. I've just been very blessed with the opening. I also am going to be sharing out of a parable this morning, and I think as we go on, you'll see how the Lord had His hand in putting this all together this morning. Could we all rise and have a word of prayer before we begin? Those who can. Father, this morning, it is with joy that we stand before You, knowing that You are the Creator God, knowing that You are in control, knowing that You, O Lord, are worthy of our praise and adoration. We just want to magnify You, glorify You, and honor You this morning. And Lord, we are so thankful for the reminder of the seed that is sowed. Maybe even on our own reading, but Sunday after Sunday, and what is happening with it in our heart? What is happening with it, Lord? Is it bringing forth the fruit that You desire in our lives? And so again this morning, we just pray that You'd be with us today and help us to hear Your voice, Lord. I just desire to be the vessel that You want me to be today and allow You to speak through me, Lord. Father, would You have Your way today? In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So this morning, I would like to turn to Luke 19. Verse 11 to 27. Luke 19, verse 11 through 27. And as they heard these things, He added and spake a parable, because He was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how... that he might know how much every man hath gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said unto him, and he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might require mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that what he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not have that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So So the Lord has been laying a burden upon my heart as I had pondered this portion of Scripture several weeks ago. And there's a few things that we want to notice out of this portion of Scripture this morning. To give a little backdrop, the first thing we want to notice is in verse 11. It says, "And as they heard these things," so what are these things that they just got done hearing? And I'm not going to take much time. John already talked about Zacchaeus a little bit this morning. That is what was before the parable that he gave. But it was Zacchaeus, and I'm not sure somehow something that he said to Zacchaeus or in that portion of Scripture there made them think that now we're entering into Jerusalem. It says that they were nigh to Jerusalem. Now that we're close to Jerusalem, he's going to take up his kingdom. He's going to go and set his kingdom up in Jerusalem. So somehow something that he said there made them think that. I don't know what exactly it was. I tried to read over it, and I can't lay my finger on it exactly, but it appears that somehow they thought something in what he said there, that now is the time that we're going to Jerusalem and we're going to set up his kingdom, and then we have this parable. So this morning, before I start going through this, I'd like to ask a few questions and just feel free to answer them, just to engage our minds together this morning. So who is this noble man that the parable is talking about? Who's this noble man? It's Christ. Whose servants did he call? His servants. He called his servants. How many servants were there? There's 10. Many times we read through this and we think of the 3, but there's 10 servants here. How many of his servants got a pound? They all did. So this morning we want to take a little closer look at this parable that Jesus gave, because it really struck me at what I feel that he might be trying to teach us here. I appreciated what John said about understanding, and I don't claim to have great understanding of what he's saying. I'm trying to learn. So verse 12, he's trying to explain to them that he is leaving. He's not setting his kingdom up in Jerusalem, but he's leaving. He's going into a far country. He's going into a far country, but he's also going to return. And as we heard this morning at the judgment, he's not going to Jerusalem, but he's going to return again. And they didn't get it. There was something that they couldn't understand. In chapter 20 of Luke, he tells them again in another parable, tries to explain to them that what is happening there, that he's leaving. Then in 13, because he is leaving and going to this far country, he calls his 10 servants together, and he gives each one of them a pound. He gives each one of them a pound. Every one of his servants got a pound. They all got the same much. It doesn't tell us that in that many words, but as we read on, we hear that the two faithful ones, that he says, "Thy pound hath brought forth 10 pounds," and the other one it says, "Thy pound hath brought forth 5 pounds," and to the one that had laid it in the napkin, it says, "Thy pound have I kept in a napkin." So we know that these 3 each had a pound, and we assume that the other 7 each had a pound as well. So a pound, what is... There's two things we want to take from this. First of all is that his servants, that we as his servants, we all get this pound delivered to us as well. If we are born again, we are part of His kingdom. We all get this pound delivered unto us. No one is excluded. You're not excluded. I'm not excluded. None of us are excluded. We all get this pound. Now, I know that... I shouldn't say that. I'm not saying we all still have a pound. Lord willing, by the grace of God, I know many of you have more than a pound. And I trust that we are gaining in this way, that we're not here. If you're a newborn Christian and you feel like you only have a pound, praise the Lord. But if we've been walking with the Lord for a long time, we shouldn't just have a pound. We should have gained. Talk a little bit about this pound. A pound was about 100 days worth of labor. So in the days, I brought up a couple different figures. If you're making $15 an hour and you work 8 hours a day for 100 days, that's $12,000. That's quite an investment. And if you get $15 a day and you work 10 hours a day, that's $15,000. So this was quite an investment that Christ gave to these servants. If you're making 18 hours a day, $18 an hour, 8 hours a day, it's $14,400. And if you're doing $18 a day an hour and 10 hours a day, that's $18,000. So I'm just pointing out that Christ is not a stingy giver. He gives to His servants very liberally. And I know that none of us, when we got born again, got $12,000, right? There's none of us that got a check from the Lord when we got born again that was $12,000. So He's not really talking about money, but He's using it as this isn't a parable. And a parable is trying to bring out a point. So He's not using, it's not really talking about money. Two things we want to notice in this verse, that they are all the nobleman's servants, and He commands all of us to occupy till He returns. Occupy. I'll read. It says, and He called His 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And that word occupy, we all know what that word means. It's self-explanatory what it means. Occupy in the Greek simply means to busy oneself with. It gives another meaning here, but I was going to... In verse 15, the last part, it says, how much every man had gained by trading. That means to trade, you're using it to get gain, to occupy. They were to be busy, but busy with what? Busy with what? I believe we all know that He gives gifts to the church. And I believe that this is that the part, or at least in some ways, some of the part of the pound that He has given to each one. I'll read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, just to name a few of the gifts that God gives. And it says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. So there are a few of them, and we could read several other scriptures, and we might later on, of what some of them gifts are. So this is an idea what this pound would consist, what consisted in this pound that He was giving us. We are to get better. We are to gain. And it's, if we are gaining it, it's not something that we can boast in, because it is really not ours. It's Christ. It's humbling. It's rather humbling. Then 14 is the verse that caught my attention. It says, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" His citizens hated him. And these citizens that he's talking about are the other seven servants that had gotten gift, 1 pound as well. They hated him, it says. But it says he was in a far country. Why would they hate him if he was in a far country? What would make them hate him if he wasn't even around them? Would it be? It says that he didn't want them to reign over them. So this morning, would it be okay to preach out of this text about God's authority? The authority that God places in our lives. God's authority. "I will not have this man to reign over us." So somehow in these 10 servants, there was delivered unto some of them to watch over the others, to give direction, as it is in the church, I believe. I believe that there was given the gifts in order for these people to make right choices, to make their way. Now we have here amongst us, we have three elders that God raised up to guide and to lead and to direct the church here. It is an increase from the pound that they were originally given. That was not originally given to them to be an elder, but as they increased, God called. And if you're not an elder this morning, it doesn't mean that you're not faithful in the pound that God has given you. He's given different gifts to different men. We're all equal. So in verse 14, I see them here saying to the nobleman, "You're not reigning over us." But he was in a faraway country. How can they say that about him? He's not even there. But I think rather that he's saying that those that you've left behind to watch over, I'm not going to put myself under them. And Christ took this quite serious. He says, if you're not putting yourselves under them, you're not putting yourselves under me. That's not what he's saying here, but as we read on, as we go on, I think you'll see it. It does say they hated him. Why would they hate him if he was not even there? So I want to use an illustration, and we'll use Christ as he came into this world, and what I see that he's what is happening here. Now, as we think of the Jews, very zealous when Christ came. I mean, they were sacrificing their lambs, they were going through the things that God had told them to do over the years, and yet we can see that when Christ came, and he was to give direction, to guide and to lead them into all truth, we see that they hated him, right? So if they hated Christ, they hated God. You cannot, it's inseparable. And so this is partially what he's saying here as well, is that even though that Christ is not here today, if those who are in authority over you, and you don't like them being an authority over you, you hate God. Is that not what he's saying here? I mean, this man went into a far country. This nobleman went into a far country. He was not even there. He was not even there. He went into a far country. So why would they hate him? So I see here that somehow, with the authority that God has set unto the men that were there, that they hated they hated these men. And while they hated these men, it doesn't tell us that they hated these men, but they hated the reign of this nobleman. And the nobleman wasn't there, but somehow there's a connection there. If you do not, if you cannot give yourself under authority, it doesn't matter if it's like we heard this morning, Justin, with children not obeying their parents, or a wife not being submissive to her husband, or being not being submitted to the church. It doesn't matter where that is. This is all in here together. It's not just talking, I believe, about the authorities of the church, but I believe it is saying that is included. So it's still the same today that God has set in place those to guide the church. And if you and I resist, we're not resisting them, the authorities, but God. And are saying to God, no, these guys don't have a clue, God. I will follow you, but not these fellows. And I know that there's those that lead a church that can go wrong. I know that. But I also believe that any one of these three elders that we have, that God has set in place here, that if you go to them and you show them anything in their life that is not right, that they will hear you. Do we believe, do we all feel that way? So we can't say that there's any of these, I don't feel like we can say that we can say anything against our three elders that are here. The subject that I want to share on this morning is far greater than I am, and I'm barely going to touch the surface. But this thought here came to me, and I'm not an artist by no means. But here, this is supposed to be an umbrella. So we have God's authority is God's protection as this umbrella. And if we're in authority to our elders or submitted one to another, and the wives are submitted to their husbands, I'm not even going to be able to spell it right. And children to their parents. And anytime that we're not in authority, we're outside of, and we're over here, we are in great danger. We're in great danger. And I know that we could look at more areas than this, but this morning this is the three areas that we want to look at a little bit. Anytime that I resist God's authority in our life, we walk away from God's protection. God's design for authority is not so that men can rule over you or lord over us, but rather it is for my good. It is for our good. God didn't send authority over you. God did not give authority children. God didn't give you parents so that they can just lord over you. Do this, do that. That's not what God created parents to do. But He gave you parents as a protection to this wicked world that we live in. And it works that way with a wife to her husband and us to the church, to the elders. That's just how it works. If you know someone that really struggles with authority, is it someone that you like to be around? That's not a fun person to be around, is it? Because life kind of consists about him. He's kind of the one that everything is, it's about him. We're all born as babies physically and spiritually. God gave you parents to take care of you and to train you. Would you have survived if they didn't tend to you? Me as well. I would have never survived had my parents not looked after me. How about spiritually? When we get born again, how would it be if nobody would have ever shared anything with you about the gospel? Where would you be today? It is for your good that God has set authorities into your life. And I know that if you and I were in a prison cell and we got born again and no one was there to minister to us, that God is there and He would help us. But that is not God's perfect plan for the church. It's not where we are today. We're not in the prison cell. We're here. God has His best in mind for us. And He knows if we struggle with authority, that we really don't, it's not the people in authority that we really don't like, but it's Him. So we want to look at these areas of authority this morning. Where are you with authority? Are you embracing or resisting authority? And I feel like if you're not embracing or resisting, you're just kind of neutral. You're like the man that hit his pound into the napkin and didn't do anything. If I as a parent am not embracing authority, my children will also struggle with embracing my authority. And they will take this rebellion into another level. I want to turn to Ephesians 4. The last time I had shared here, I shared out of Ephesians 4 about being in the unity of the Spirit. But I think this is taking it even another step further here with authority. We're starting in verse 8 and reading to verse 16. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the first thing here is we see here that when he died, he went to the lower parts of the earth and he took captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to each one of us. Your gift is different from mine. And there's some that are set in authority. And there's not everyone is, but we're all equal. God is not. Just because there's people in authority doesn't mean that they are of more value to God than you are. We're all of the same value to God. But He has given gifts to the men, to men. And the reason for that is for our good. is for our good, for us to be, we'll read on why he's given some of these gifts. In verse 12 it tells us, it starts telling us why. It is for the perfecting of the saints. That is why he's given gifts. And so if I'm by myself, decide that I don't need no fellowship, I can go live by myself out away from somewhere, according to this scripture, could I be perfect in Christ? No, I couldn't. For the perfecting of the saints. In Matthew 5, verse 48, Jesus tells us, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And if we're resisting the authority that God has put into the church, we will never reach that standard. It's impossible. We will never reach that standard of perfection. Because he's going to use the elders. They're the very ones for the perfecting of the saints. They're the ones that are going to help us to reach that. That is their goal. That is their goal in life, is to get us to reach that perfection. We will never reach it on our own. If you and I are struggling with authority in our lives and speak ill of them, you are not hurting the elders, but you're hurting yourself. You might hurt them, but you're damaging yourself. And the elders, if someone is resisting you, let's remember, they're not resisting you, they're resisting God. That is who they're really resisting. They're resisting God. And I'm not saying that we have a bunch of people here that are not wanting to be under authority, but I was just really struck here how easy it is for us to kind of, when God is trying to move us into a direction or guiding us into a direction, and how easy it is for me to resist to that authority that God has put in our lives. If we're not embracing and we're not resisting, then we're like the man that has wrapped up his hound in a napkin. And also I want to say that don't think that you would do better anywhere else with a different set of elders. God has you here for a reason. God has you here for a reason. And it is to bring the best out of you. We are still the same people. If I was to go somewhere else, this man here, what is in here, follows wherever I go. So just a different set of elders isn't going to change my problem. It's not going to fix the problem, because I go wherever I move. And it's the person here that God wants to change. And don't think you can just hide when you're resisting, because your family will show you where you are, and mine will too. It has never been spiritual to run down your elders or authority, to run them down. It has always been devilish. The next part it says, for the work of the ministry. These are why these gifts are given, for the work of the ministry. If you want your ministry to be effective, you're going to need all the gifts that are in the body in order to make your gift as effective as God wants it to be. You on your own will never be complete. It will never be to the fullness of what it could be. Edifying of the body. This is God's design for how the church works. Why is it so easy to pick out those that resist in a church? It is because they are spiritually famished. Because God has set these gifts into the body to feed, to edify the body. And if we're resisting that, we spiritually are famishing. And I'm sorry, but many times you can pick those out. They're not edified. They are dying and don't know it. It says, till we all come to the unity of faith, not some, but all. Do you know why people feel like they don't fit in at times? This is the reason. They're resisting God by resisting those whom God charged to lead out. That is why we don't feel like we fit in at times. And by the way, this works amongst the elders in themselves. They are to submit themselves one to another. They need each other. They are to submit to one another. The next thing it tells us is, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We heard about knowledge this morning. The knowledge of the Son of God. I will never come to the full knowledge of the Son of God on my own. I will never do it. And neither will you. We need each other. God has put gifts in the body to bring the fullness of that out in each other. God in His great wisdom has set them over, has set them there for us. And I don't want to use the word over us, but says set them there for us. They're there to help, guide, and lead. If you are resisting, I don't care how spiritual you think you are, we will see at the end what God will do to those who resist authority. The end of verse 13 here, he tells us, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We will never experience the fullness of Christ on our own. We need each other. God again has placed those gifts into the body so that we can experience the fullness of Christ. And if we are resisting authority, if we're resisting that, you are not experiencing the fullness of Christ. Or else the Word of God is lying to us this morning. Remember, God has authority in our lives for our sake, not so that someone can lord over us. In verse 14 it tells us that if we are resisting, that this is how it looks in God's eyes. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking truth in love may grow... Sorry. I was going to stop with verse 14. The reason that God has done this is so that we're no longer running tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And that we're no longer carried about with every wind of doctrine, tossed to and fro, and by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We're in great danger of being deceived if we are not putting ourselves and allowing God's gifts in the body to edify and to nurture and to do what it is designed to do. We are in great danger of being deceived. And then in verse 15 and 16, it is a very beautiful picture of what the body of Christ looks like if everyone is doing their part. And if we are not doing our part, we are hindering our members to their full potential. And again, I want to say that God put these authorities in our lives for our good. And if I'm resisting that authority, I'm outside of God's protection. And more likely, I'm wounded and don't even realize it. And we won't make it out there. If I will not let God reign over me, remember, that is who I resist when I resist His authority. Then who does reign over me? If I'm not under this protection, if I'm not under God's authority, then whose authority am I under? It's the authority of the world. It's Satan. Let's go on to the next one in Ephesians 21 to 24, talking about chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. 21 to 24. It's talking about wives here. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we see here that God has put the husband in place to watch over the wife. Now, it doesn't mean that the wife is of any less importance to God than the man. We're equal in the sense of God's creation. We're equal. One is not better than the other. He didn't put this authority into your place so that they can lord over you, but for your good. As a wife, you are not of any less value to God than your husband, but you have a different role. It tells you to submit, how? As unto the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? As unto the Lord. You're not just being, an authority to your husband, but you are obeying God. You are submitting unto the Lord. And if you are submitting to your husband, you are actually submitting to God. If you're resisting, that is also who you're really resisting. And it is not just being in subjection, or not just being, it is not just being submitting to Him when He's around, but at all times, right? Are you under God's protection? Ephesians 6, Brother Justin already read these verses, but we're going to read them again. The first three verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long in the earth. Children, God did not make a mistake with the parents that He gave you. He gave you the right parents. He gave you the right parents. Many times we think I know how it was for myself. I wished I could have, back when I was young, and I was not a Christian, but I wished I could do some of the things my friends could do, but I just was not allowed. And I couldn't figure it out. Today I am extremely thankful for some of the things that my parents stood up to. I had the right parents. I had the right parents. I did not get to do everything I wanted to do, but I had the right parents. I'm very thankful for that today. God has your best in mind. He didn't make a mistake when He gave you your father and your mother. And if you're resisting them, you are resisting God. And also, it isn't how good we look in the front of others, but when no one else is around, how do I obey my parents? How is it going? Do we have all the answers? Is my way always the best way? Are you under God's protection? The quicker we learn to embrace God's authority, the better it will go for us. I'd like to turn back to our text in Luke 19. And starting in verse 15, and it says, as this noble man came back, he called his servants to get, it doesn't call them the servants here, it says, and it came to pass when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man hath gained by trading. He's interested in how we are doing. You see God's interest here? He's interested in knowing how every man had gained. What did they gain since I left? How are they doing? He's interested in them. So he calls his servants together. He's interested. Brethren, are we gaining? Are we gaining? I want to say here these two verses, not necessarily the two out. Sorry. I'm not saying that in these two verses. Let me catch my thought here. I'm trying to do too many things at once here. I'm not saying these two good servants that had gained a lot were both elders of a church. That's not what I'm saying. You know, one elder could have very well left with the other six. I don't know what this would look like. We're all to be subject one to another. God has authorities set in our life. So these two that have gained, I'm not saying were the ones that got up and preached every Sunday morning. That's not what I'm saying. It could have very well been, but it might not have been. I don't know. I just want you to know that don't think that I think that they are above us, that they can't feel as easy as we can. They're also human. We need to hold each other accountable. And I'm very blessed with our elders. I'm very, very blessed. I want you to know that. So the first one comes and he says that thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And a tremendous words that God gave. He says, well, thou good servant. Well, thou good servant. Wouldn't we all like to hear those words? Well, thou good servant. How are you and I doing? Are we being faithful with what God has given us? Or do I have a better plan? Is there an area in my life that can't be touched? Or are we open 100%? How is it? The area that you think that is nobody's business is the area that God is wanting to help you with, or me. If there's an area that you touch in my life and you know that one hurt, help me to overcome it. Because that is what is going to keep me from spending eternity with God. Is there such a thing in your life that an area where nobody can touch? That is kind of my area. You stay off of that. Let's always remember that it is the Lord's pound. We have nothing that we did not receive. And God gave rewards according to our gains, to their gains. He gave rewards according to their gains. The more there's no limits to what God, what you, there's no limits. If you think of Paul, and if you think of Moses, and if you think of some of the men that have went before us, and where they have went, and the things they have done, it is also there for us. There's no limits to what God has for us. And the more they gained, the more rewards there was. Then we come to to the one that hit his pound in the napkin. It says, "And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou thy money unto the bank, that at my coming I might require my own with usury? And he saith unto him that stood by, Take him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they say unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken from him. An Austrian man. What is an Austrian man? It's a man that is, I thought I had it wrote down, but I might not. He was about his own business. He wasn't about the business of the Lord. It was more important what he could get for himself than the gift that God had given him. He was building his own kingdom. He might have not been resisting like the other seven, but he was also not embracing it. And God judged him out of his own mouth. Then verse 27 here, we read about the seven that resisted God's authority. It says, "But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." Remember, in the beginning we read that these were all servants of that noble man. They were all servants of the Lord Jesus, as we read. Seven of them resisted the authority that God had set in their lives. I'm not going to have this man reign over me. We're not going to have this man reign over us. What happened? God calls them enemies. They all had the same opportunities. They all had that 1 pound. They all were his servants. They all had the same opportunity in life. They might all sat in the same fellowship hall and sang the same songs, but were eternities apart. You and I cannot fool God. There might be things that we struggle with as the elders are to give an account for our souls, as they are trying to protect us from the dangers that are around. There might be those things that we can struggle with. But let's remember, they are the ones that have to give an account for you and I's soul. They have our best in mind. Are you resisting? You're not resisting them, but you're resisting God. God will not be mocked. In verse 27 it tells us, "But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." What a terrible judgment. What a terrible thing to happen. What a terrible thing. God has not set authorities in our life so they can rule over you, but rather to guide, to lead, and to direct. It is not so they can rule over you, but for your good, for my good. That is why they are there. That is why they are there. God set them in place. Resisting God's authority is very serious, whether in the church, or wives to their husband, or children to their parents. If you're resisting in church, you're setting your children up to fail. You're setting your children up to fail if you cannot put yourself under authority. If it isn't going the way that you think, take a week, fast and pray. Break your heart before God. Ask brothers to speak into your life. What do you see, brother? If there's something that you have a struggle with that is happening, do this. Break your heart before God. There's none of our authorities that cannot be, that you can't go to and speak to. They're all here. We want to all grow together. Our children, a lot of times, display what is in my life. Is there something in my children that I'm looking at and I say, they're just not doing what I want them to do. They're just not quite measuring up. They're kind of disobedient. Well, a very good chance that it is because that's what they see coming from my life. That's what they see coming from my life. I've just opened myself up. And you see my family better than I see my family. And if you see things lacking, please. Please come speak to us. Please. What do I see in them? Never be critical, and especially not to authorities. If there's something you need to talk to them about, just in a nice way, go talk to them. They're not going to resist you. You don't have the wrong authorities. God has set them there for you and for me. I see it as a tremendous burden upon God's heart. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. And so He's placed us here on testing ground. How are you and I doing? How are you and I doing? Let's not resist God by resisting the authorities that God has given us. And I know we could have talked about other authorities that God has set in place, but I chose these three this morning. And there's much that is lacking, I'm sure, that I said. And if there's something that I'm not seeing in this parable, I'd like to know as well. But I'd never seen it before, how God had given 10 servants each a pound. And out of these 10 servants, there were two that were faithful. They were all His servants. To me, that's pretty sobering. And the reason the others, and one of the things that it says here is that they were resisting. They did not want Him to reign over them. And He was not here. He was into a far country. So it gives me the idea that they were resisting those that God had left here to look after things for Him, the people that God had put in authority. So if I'm seeing that wrong, I'm very open to correction. But I see that it is a tremendous burden upon the heart of God that we don't resist authority. So may God richly bless you. Thank you.